If God is for us, then who could possibly be against us? You just sang a song about having no fear. As you're going about life, are you living a fearless life? Are you living a life of boldness? Are you fearful or unafraid? The reality of life is, Jesus tells us that in this world, you will have trouble, will have trouble. It is a promise. I love that promise of God because He's being honest and transparent. Because this life is hard, especially when we align ourselves with Christ. So there are things that are going to come against us. And maybe there are times that we might think that that would make us fearful. And there are fearful things. The reality of life is just hard sometimes. But if God is for us, if you read the last page, we win, church, we win. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. You have what you need. You have the presence of the Lord God Almighty within you. You can prevail. You will prevail. You have a church family. And you have the Holy Spirit of God. We have nothing to fear to this morning, church. Nothing at all. And I just want to celebrate that as we enter into our time of prayer today together, that whatever it is, whatever burden you have, that you would just be bold enough to lay it down. It's so easy to just hold on to the things that we're fearful about or that are troubling us. But to be free from that, to let that go, that's freedom. So whatever it is that you need to let go of today, can you just do that? The Lord would say, you're tired and you're so weary because you're carrying a burden that is not meant for you. Be free today. It's easy to think like that in a beautiful Sunday morning in a beautiful space, but the reality is there are burdens in life. But this morning, I'm going to pray that we just lay them down. And we ask the Lord God to come along beside us. It is times like this, days of special holidays that can really trouble us. Maybe we're missing our mama, or maybe we've experienced a tragedy in our life. But aren't you thankful? When I think about my own mama, I'm thankful that I had somebody that prayed for me. Now, I should take that Thanksgiving that I have and turn that around. And now it's my turn to do that for somebody else. And today is your opportunity. So no matter what it is that you're burdened with, you can lay that burden down and live something new, whatever that is for you. Maybe you want to pray more. Maybe you want to tell more people about Jesus. That would be the most freeing way to live that you could possibly live. And today might be the time that you do that, to take that stand. And it can happen right now during this moment of prayer. We just sang a worship song, but I like to think that everything we do inside of this house is worship. When we pray together is a beautiful act of worship. When we have a skit, it's worship. When we hear a message, that's worship. When I send you out to go into the dark world that we are privileged to go serve in, that is also an act of worship. Everything we do is worship. But today can feel different. You lay down your burden and you pick up something new, a new way to love Him and serve Him. Maybe that's waiting for you today. Whatever is on your heart, just enter into the Holy of Holies, and this time is special. And I don't take this casually. So if you'd like to join my wife and I at the altar, you're welcome. Always welcome to join us there. Oh, it's just wood covered by fabric, but it represents a posturing in front of the Lord. And I think we should all posture ourselves today on bent knee, if not literally, then in our hearts, and go before the Lord God Almighty who gave us life and just glorify Him today and honor Him. Am I the only one that is crying when the Lord started speaking? That was just a lot of truth that we saw. That we're just going to go through life and we're just going to try to do our best. And we're going to fail. And sometimes, some days are better than others. But being a light for the Lord Jesus Christ is the best gift we could give to our kids. It's the best gift we could give to the people that are around us. Did you appreciate that? Did you find yourself up here in any way? Did you show your appreciation? Thank you, Danessa, for leading that. When I read this script, it touched my heart, but it was also it's just real life, and it was humorous and fun and funny, but the message of that struck a chord with me. So I wanted to continue that thought that it isn't just for mothers, though. If the message of that play was that we are to be a light to our children, then for all of us, whether we have children or not, we are to be a light to everyone that is around us. That is what makes us a star in the Lord's eyes. Amen? So I wanted to just kind of give you a few words this morning and a passage of Scripture that I think you will probably find familiar, but I think the Lord is describing to us what our identity should be. He's also teaching His disciples what He expects them to do, and more importantly, He is telling them what the most important thing they can do, because He's about to leave and go away, and they are going to be given the task of spreading the gospel around the planet, starting the church. And what is the most important thing you could do when you are given the task of starting the church? Just imagine, and we think of church in 2,000 years ago, the first century church probably looked different than it does now, but these committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were given this task. How daunting that would be, but Jesus left them with instructions on what to do, exactly what to do. I've titled this sermon, Don't Leave Home Without It, because there is an identity crisis, I believe, in our world and in our country, maybe inside of our church. People are searching for an identity. Who am I? What is my purpose? What is my role? But I want us all to realize that as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've all been given the same purpose. We have been given the same role, and that is to go and make disciples. We are all disciple makers. In the front of your bulletin, you see a little cute picture of not a driver's license, but a different kind of license. Who is that handsome feller? Jeffrey asks. We thought we would have some fun with the idea of turning a driver's license into another kind of license, which better depicts what our identity should be. Oh, I'm Pastor Steve, and I have things that I enjoy, and I have attributes about what make me and my humanity. But you and I share something in common, and that is we've all been given the same task to go serve the Lord this way, to go and make disciples. So we should all leave here today knowing that we should never leave home without taking our disciple maker's license with us, because that is who we are and that is our true identity. And there's a passage of Scripture that I want to share with you, and this is a special passage because, well, it's part of the upper room. Jesus has gathered His disciples there. It's the evening that He was betrayed and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But He's gathering with His disciples there in the upper room. And He knows this is the last time with them. So every word that Jesus speaks is important, but the things that He had to say in the upper room have even more importance because He knows this is the last time He's going to be with them. Put yourself in His sandals for a moment. If He knows this is the last time He's going to be with His disciples, everything He says has to count. They have to get it because He's going away. And He's going to leave them to the task at hand. The task is daunting. The task is going to lead some of them in prison, some of them to their death. They've been given the burden, all of them, to their death. The burden of going and sharing the gospel. The bride of Christ, the church, was built upon this moment in time. Jesus had to pour into them. So everything he says is important. Everything he says in the upper room is important. But this is even triple important because he is telling them what they have to do to be successful in the task of starting the church. We're going to read this passage together, but I want to tell you, first of all, what he doesn't say. If you were to start a church and you were to have a specialist come in and to show you how to create a church and what programs you should have and all of those things, this is what the Lord Jesus might have said in the upper room, but he didn't. Let's just pretend for a moment. He could have said, okay, you need to build a building, because this is important, church, to have a building, and you're going to have on top of the building this thing that we're going to call, it's going to be pointy, we're going to call that a steeple. You got to have a steeple on your building, you got to have one of those, because people won't know it's a church unless it has the pointy thing, and it's a steeple. And you go, you got to have a building. Now, here's what you're going to do. On Sunday morning, when the people come to church, you're going to have somebody give up and give announcements. We got to have that at the beginning. James, you seem to talk well to people. Why don't you take care of that, James? You can handle all the announcements. And then, well, Matthew, I hear you singing from time to time. You're a really good singer. So why don't you get up and sing some songs? And after that, well, John, you seem to be kind of sensitive, so maybe you should lead our prayer time because you cry a lot. And then, Matthew, get some of the other disciples to sing something special that's on their heart. And then, Peter, you're going to be really good at bringing the homily. What's the homily? Well, that's when you tell people about me. Oh, a sermon. Oh, in church we call it the homily. You're going to be really good at bringing the homily, Peter. Just wait. And he was. And then you're going to send the people out, and they're going to tell everybody about Jesus, and that's what church is going to be. Now, maybe that is what Jesus could have told his disciples to do, but he didn't. He didn't leave them with a program. He left them instead with one thing to do. It is simple. And this doesn't just apply to those 11 remaining disciples. It applies to every one of us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is found in just two verses in the 13th chapter of the book of John. If you have your word, you can turn there with me, and I'm going to give you three thoughts from this passage. This is upper room. This is important because of the words of Jesus, but these are some of the last words. He is desperate for them to get it. So this morning, can you put yourself in their sandals? He's desperate for you to get this, because this is more important than anything else you could ever do in your life. It doesn't matter how talented our singers are, how gifted somebody is at bringing the homily. It doesn't matter what programs we put on. Church, you have one thing to do. Are you ready for this? And it's so simple. But without it, everything crumbles and falls apart. And I want to remind you again, Jesus in just two verses tells them everything they need to do in order to be successful of telling people about him and growing the church, because he was no longer going to be with them. So you would think, if you've only got a couple of verses, a couple of sentences, that is probably it. And it is. So if you have your word, you can close your eyes, you can stand as I read this. However you want to honor the Lord, these are his words, not Pastor Steve's. This is John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. It sounds simple, doesn't it? I'm going to give you three thoughts about this passage. The first thing is, Jesus says that this is a new command to love one another. A new command. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't Jesus quote that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, his strength, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself? He is quoting. The first part of that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is a passage found in Deuteronomy. So this isn't just New Testament. It's actually much older than that. God's command is to love the Lord God all the way back in the Old Testament. And then Jesus follows that with a passage from Leviticus, still in the Old Testament, where he says to love your neighbor as yourself. So how's this new? How's it new, Jesus, to love one another? Here's how it's new. And you all share in this. Jesus knew what was about to happen. That in a handful of days, the day of Pentecost, something amazing was going to happen. The Holy Spirit of God was going to come down from heaven upon all believers. That was going to happen, and Jesus knew that. The Holy Spirit of God was going to indwell inside the believers of the Lord. You see, here's what I've come to know. It is impossible in our humanness to truly love one another as much as we love ourselves. We can't do it. Oh, the pastor can say, you need to love one another, but you'll do that for about a minute and a half in your humanness. But unless you've been supernaturally changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot truly love somebody as much as you love yourself. You just can't do it. So Jesus knows there is a new thing that is coming, a new way to love. You think you love your brothers and sisters now? You just wait until you are infused with the Holy Spirit. Then you will be able to love everyone like you have never loved before. This is new. It's a new command that I give you. And you just wait to see that when you look out across humanity, you won't just see people, but you will see them the way I see them. You will love them just because they exist. You won't see them as being in the way. You won't see them as strangers. You'll see them as brothers and sisters. You'll be able to love in a supernatural way. It's new. Pastor, I love everybody. It's not for me to judge. But it might be a litmus test for you to know if you're following Christ as closely as you should be, if you're really capable of loving everyone around you as much as you love yourself. Isn't it easy to love your family? Is that your family? But what about the people that are like this in your life? Do you love them as much as you love your family? If you can't say that, maybe you're not following Christ as closely as you should. The second point is, Jesus said that this is a command. It's a command. It's not a, hey, try this on for size. Maybe this might work for you. Jesus calls it a command, and then he follows it by saying, you must do this. You must. There's no loophole in this. If you're not capable of loving one another as I have loved you, then you're not fulfilling the mission that I have called you to. Did you notice that Jesus quantifies that when he says, love one another as I have loved you? In other words, to the same degree that I have loved you, love somebody else. Do you think that Jesus loves you? Do you think that Jesus loves you more than you could possibly imagine? He does. He drug a cross up a hill and allowed himself to be crucified upon it because of this immense amount of love that he has for you, and it's beyond my ability to understand how much he loves me. But Jesus now is telling me that to the same degree that I have loved you, so you must love one another. It is a command. It is not up for discussion. You must do this. You must find a way. Now, you can't just do this because Pastor says you must. You have to invite the Holy Spirit of God to come and to transform you from the inside out. You have to allow him, work in my life, Holy Spirit, work in my life so that I can love and live like the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to just be saved by Jesus. I want to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And that's what he wants for you. And Jesus declares that this is a command and you must do this. Otherwise, as a church, we will fail. This is a command given to his disciples 2,000 years ago. And because they truly were transformed from the inside out, and they were so committed to the mission that the gospel has spread around the world for the last 2,000 years, because they chose in this moment, not because they were going to put a steeple on top of a building. That's not what made church great. What made church great was they realized the whole key, the secret sauce. Everything hinges on, do I have the capacity, the ability to love everyone? And not just love them, but to love them as the same degree that Jesus loves me. Now that's a tall order to fill. But I want to tell you, you want to be a disciple maker? You want your identity to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to not only have an Indiana driver's license, but you want to have a disciple maker's license? It hinges on your ability to love beyond your human ability. And if you find that you can't love that person, that one person, then you need to not spend time with that one person. You need to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Show me how to love that person as much as I love me. Show me how to love that person as much as you love that person. Everything hinges on that. Now, the third thing that Jesus says is the world is watching. If you are going to align yourself with me, you're going to proclaim that you are my disciple. The only way they'll know that isn't that you have the Mount Zion Wesleyan bumper sticker on your car. You might have that. But the best way for the world to know that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is if they see you loving others as much as you love yourself. That is the way. Jesus says it's the way, and it's the only way the world will know you truly belong to me is if you love one another. If you love them. There's some people that are just hard to love. But when those people that are hard to love see you loving them, they will know you are a disciple of Christ. Some people are hard to love. Maybe I'm one of those. Maybe you're one of those. Reality is, if we're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not one moment of one day we can take off. This isn't a Sunday gig. It isn't a one-hour gig. It's a 24/7 privileged opportunity that we have, that when the pastor sends you out through those doors, you go into a world that needs to see a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not going to see that because you go to Culver's today, you're dressing your Sunday best, and they're going to think, oh, the Christian crowd is coming in. They're going to see this Monday through Sunday because you just show up and you love people. You're a disciple-making, card-carrying member of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your only job, because everything else fits into place, everything else will work if you truly love as he has loved you. So that person that you find difficult to love. Can you picture them? Maybe you don't have anybody in your heart, in your life like that. But if you do, it's less about them and you than it is about you and him. You get that right. And you just wait and see how easy it is to love everyone that is around you. This is your role, church. This is what he told his disciples. I'm leaving. He's about to tell Peter that Peter's going to deny him. It's over. I'm leaving you with this task. And church, he has left you with this task. This isn't just for mamas. It's for all of us. Don't leave home without this. Take that card, that disciple maker's card, with you. Love the world is the way to transform the world. It's one heart, it's one life, it's one interaction at a time. That's your true identity. You are a disciple. And you will never be known as a disciple until the world sees you loving supernaturally. Not because the pastor says so. That'll last for about a minute and a half. But to love always in every situation, you just wait and see how that transforms your family, your community, your schools, everywhere you go. This is how it's worked for 2,000 years. And this command still applies. It's the best thing that Jesus left us with. Go make disciples by loving everybody that's around you, church. The power is within you. A new way to live and a new way to love, because I have given you the Spirit of God Himself. It's within you. Okay, church. I'm going to say these words. This word to me this morning take a different meaning, because we have a mission, and that is to go and make disciples. So, church, with your card in hand, you are sent.